B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
9 o'clock hour brought to you by the Baxter Dumpster in a Bag. Get your estate Home Depot Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. On the line with us right now, the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward, our friend from Inquirer.com, Sixers beat writer, friend of the show, Keith Pompey. What's going on there, Keith?
How y'all doing?
We're doing great. What are you up to today? Is it a busy day for you? Is it going to be a long one, my friend?
It's a vacation day.
It's a vacation day.
I hear it's going to be a long one.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long night. Yeah.
What are the odds that the Sixers don't make it that long and that the Sixers actually pick before 21?
Man, that's a great question. I mean, because, you know, we're dealing with a guy in Daryl Morey, you know, who we really don't know a lot about, you know, in regards to the Sixers. And he's a guy who hasn't made a trade since 2015. That's the last time that he actually had a first round pick too. So, I mean, there's a lot going on. And like, you know, you guys talked about earlier, you know, the thing is if you can't get up until like the top five or maybe the top eight, you know, you look at this draft, you may be better suited, you know, staying where you are just because, you know, some of these guys are similar and some of these guys are going to fall. Just because of team needs.
Yeah, you have a, in terms of a big splash, there's no bigger splash than any news surrounding James Harden. And you have a story on Inquirer.com right now talking about the Sixers' best approach to acquire James Harden, and you do that on your podcast. When you look through this, you know, all the stock that the Sixers have right now, all the assets, to use an old word there, that the Sixers have, is Ben Simmons the one piece that is absolutely off the table? And now that would also probably be the deal breaker. Would you let it be the deal breaker with Ben Simmons for James Harden?
I mean, that's a tough one. Like I think in order for you to get James Harden, I think you have to have Ben Simmons in the deal. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it's also like, but if they want to break the bank and say, okay, we want these additional draft picks and all this other stuff, I don't think I would do it. But at the same time, when you look at it, in order for you to get James Harden, I mean, we're talking about not just a perennial all-star. We're talking about a perennial first-team all-NBA selection, a former league MVP. You know, you have to, like, give up somebody like a Ben Simmons or a Joel Embiid to make that deal work.
Keith, people talk around. We had the Shefty on earlier today saying that he doesn't think that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons can play together. I'm not of that ilk yet, and I'm really not of it because you have Doc Rivers coming in. Do you look at this whole thing, whether it's Embiid and Al Horford being able to play together, whether it's Ben Simmons, Embiid, throw in Tobias Harris, do you think Doc Rivers can figure this all out and therefore we shouldn't really make those statements?
You know, I don't – here's the thing, yes and no. No, here's the thing. I think that, you know, Doc Rivers is a great coach, right? A future Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, Daryl Morey has a great mind, you know, and they're going to put these guys in their best situation. But I think, like, if you don't make a trade and you don't get people in here, the shooters that you need in here to make Joe and Ben fit, then this team is still going to be the fifth or sixth seed. You know, I just think that you need to get the right pieces. Now, again, if they had cap space, if they had a lot of other things going for them, then I would say, okay, let's give it a try. And I think that's what the Sixers want to do. But at the same time, I think that as great as Doc Rivers is as a coach, you know, you're only as good as the pieces you have. And if the pieces don't fit, the pieces don't fit.
Speaking with Keith Pompey, Inquirer.com, about tonight's NBA draft. Now, as far as those pieces that go right now, how much of this is dependent on how much Ben develops his mid-range game, his scoring ability in general, finishing at the rim, foul shooting, all that, Joel Embiid staying healthy and his desire to play? How much of this really is based on what Doc Rivers can get out of the pieces he already has?
True, you're right. I mean, and that has a lot to do with it. You know, like if Ben Simmons, like, starts shooting threes and he opens up spacing, you know, for Joel, and if he does some other things, then you look at it and you say, you know what, the Sixers are going to be set for the next couple years. Like, this is the team. But if that doesn't happen, and if Joel continues to stay injury prone, then you're looking at it like, wow, man, maybe we missed up on a prime opportunity. Now, again, I'm not saying, like, because if you think about it, like, when they had J.J. Redick, no one really said no one had the conversation saying the pieces don't fit.
Right.
2 years ago when they had, or 3 years ago when they had Ersan Ilyasova, Marco Bellinelli, Robert Covington, no one said that either. The problem was with Ersan and Marco, it was like they couldn't play defense. So what happens is the Sixers went out there and got guys who they felt like were quality perimeter defenders. The only problem, a lot of these guys couldn't shoot. So then all of a sudden the spacing became horrible and everyone said that Ben and Joel can't play together. Now, again, like you said, if Ben adjusts his game and he starts attempting shots, and if Joel is like healthy, and if these guys can play together, do everything like that, then you say yes. But the problem is, to me, is the thing is, let's be real. You know, Doc Rivers is getting paid. Daryl Morey is getting paid. When the Sixers don't have any cap space, right? They don't have, like, you know, and they got pieces that don't fit. So the problem with that is, if, you know, yes, you can see how it works out, at least early on, but then there comes a point in time when you have to say to yourself, like, you know what? If pieces don't fit, we're going to be no better than fifth in the East. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, we gave Doc Rivers all this money. Wow, we gave Daryl Morey all this money, and we're still fifth and sixth in the East. So it comes to a point where you have to hurry up and decide what you really want to do.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Keith, are there names out there, peripheral pieces, you know, that you say you got to open the floor, all the things that we've talked about, shooters. Are there peripheral pieces out there that you've heard or that you think can come in here and make this pretty much core team better than it is right now?
See, here's the problem with that also, Bob. Like, yeah, there are some pieces, but can the Sixers afford them right now? You know what I mean? Like, with their cap space, you know what I mean? So, you know, like, a guy like, and this is crazy, say, like, if depending on what the New York Knicks want to do with Wayne Ellington, you can say, okay, we can go out there and we can probably, you know, maybe see if we could give him a mid-level, or maybe we could give him the minimum, and then he could come in here. And I think there are people that could help the Sixers, but then when you look at it, you say, for the most part, like, all right, is somebody going to take Al Horford's contract so we can go out there and trade for, like, a great shooter? So, you know what I mean? So that's the reason why I think a lot of people are saying, you know what, some people may not like his game, but some people are saying the Sixers got to go out there and go after, like, a James Harden type, because, you know, it's easier getting him than it may be to get a shooter for, like, giving up an Al Horford's contract. If that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
What are the odds the Sixers are able to even move on from Al Horford within the next calendar year?
You know, it depends. It depends. Like, you know, kind of sort of like Harden, it's going to come down to need. Like, if there's a team, if Al Horford is playing well and he's a little healthy, or they look at when Joel's not in there, there's going to be a team that says, you know what, we haven't made the playoffs for a while. You know, we look at Al Horford and we think that he could be a piece. And then maybe the Sixers can move him then. I mean, the thing is, like, right now, when you talk to a lot of people, you know, some people are saying, like, oh, yeah, they like Al, but they don't like him for that contract. You know what I mean?
Right, so of course, yeah. Funny, that's how we feel in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, there's always a time when somebody gets banged up, someone gets hurt, a team is looking for a playoff push. And I'm here to say, like, you know, when Joel doesn't play, or when Al was playing with Joel and there wasn't a Ben on the floor, I mean, he played a lot better. Like, he looked a lot better. So I'm not saying he shot. It's just that this just appears to be, you know, a bad situation for him playing on the floor with the other two.
What's the most likely scenario, you think, that plays out tonight?
You know, I wish I could tell you. I don't really know too much about Daryl. You know, in regards to, like, you know what he did in the past. Like,
right,
he was,
of course,
always going after, you know, perennial all-star type players, future Hall of Fame type of talent. But, you know, I think that, you know, right now when you look at the Sixers, at least in the late first round, early second, if they keep that pick in the first round, I believe that they're going to go after a shooter. I mean, they have to get a shooter, especially if they intend on keeping Ben and Joel, if they intend at least giving it a try. I think you have to go out there and get a floor spacer. So that's what I look at. But also a guy who they feel like can also, you know, be a secondary ball handler as well. I think that's what we're going to see from the Sixers right now.
Anybody jump out to you specifically in terms of who you would want them to take at 21 if they stay that way?
You know, it's weird because, you know, it's weird. Like, the intriguing person to me is, and I know he's not the best shooter, but the intriguing person to me is Cole Anthony, just because a year ago he had a top five grade and he's sliding. Mm-hmm. And so you look at it and say, well, if he can keep everything together, or if he can get healthy, now that he is healthy, maybe we can see what we have there. But then there's a guy, Terrell Terry, you know, from Stanford, who's a great shooter. You know, now he bulked up a little bit, but I look at him and he could be like a sleeper, kind of like a Landry Shamet was, you know, a guy that you looked at and you say, well, maybe, you know, and he has some problems. Maybe he's not like a point guard, but he can come in and knock down some shots. And then the guy that a lot of people are talking about, and the guy that people were saying that the 76ers were extremely high on, and some people felt that they made a promise to him before Daryl Morey came on board, is Isaiah Joe. Isaiah Joe, he has a second-round grade. He probably will go 34, 36, and he's from Arkansas. And he's like the nation's like top 3-point shooter. So those are three guys who come to mind, you know, right now. Now, I know there's some other guys who are more athletic and do a lot of other things. But when I'm looking at the Sixers in the last couple of years, they had a lot of talent in the late first round, early in the second round, you know, with Shake Milton, Matisse Thybulle, Landry Shamet. So these are three guys who come to mind to me, who could help them at a cheap price.
Keith, I hope it's not too long of a night for you. And just last question for you. Do you remember your first grade school dance?
Yeah, I think I do. Yeah, I do.
Sounds like it didn't turn out well, Keith.
I know the name of the first girl I danced with.
See, all right, what was her name?
So did I.
Her name was like Tara Butler.
Tara Butler. You know what? She's jealous now. She's like, oh, wait, I let Keith get away. I let Keith get away.
What was the song, Keith?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Keith, you're the man. Thanks so much for coming on with us, my friend. I appreciate it.
All right, fellas.
All right, thanks, buddy. Have a good night.
Yeah, have a good one. Yeah, hopefully it's not. Keith Pompey joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.